What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It is Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's happening, everyone? You got Matt or Haz. Bring it in. When's the last time all four of us were here? It's good to see y'all, actually. It's been a minute. Are you okay, Marcus? What the heck?
Yeah, bro. Just
Sleepy?
allergies, man. It's nice
Yeah,
weather
man.
outside. Spring, man.
You're killing me. You're telling me I've watched more baseball in the last 2 weeks than I ever have. What's going on, everyone? How's everyone doing? What's up, Charles? Tell me about it. Showing up on time this time. I love it. Instead of ending up like the Marvel movies credit scene, that was amazing.
On time this week. Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun at QuaiCon. Gavin and B came over like about a week early, like 5 days early before the event. So that was super fun. And yeah, just continue to do all the property management stuff I've been doing and just keeping on the grind, staying busy. Tax season is stressful, to say the least. But yeah, I mean, we're still trucking along, and we had a bunch of good Smash this weekend too to watch. So super excited to get into that. How are you doing, Marcus?
I'm so used to being the first person to get passed to that now I'm ready for it. Like it's kind of interesting. But okay, so I'm great. Outside of allergies, bro, spring is my least favorite season. I'm sorry for the spring lovers out there, but as someone with awful allergies, it's miserable. Yeah, I know I'm old and I probably should start taking my medicine in February, but I don't. So I hate it every time. Like, just don't know why I do it to myself. So it's not spring's fault, it's my fault. But anyway, yeah, I'm great. I'm great. Nothing has really changed much. Just living a life that I enjoy, and I don't know, it's good enough for me. How's it going, Gavin?
I'm pretty good. I have a couple of tournaments I'll be going to at the end of the month or towards the end of the month. Luminosity Smash Invitational.
Man, that's very soon. They just announced that not too long ago,
Gonna say, can
so.
you tell us about that a little bit? Truly?
What do you want to know, bro?
Who's invited? Who's like what how's it work? Tell me
I
about
don't
it.
know if you can he leak the list? I don't know if you can.
I think they're still finalizing the last couple. And also, yeah, I don't know if I can leak
I mean,
the
you
You
probably can,
can.
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could, but
Yeah, let's do it.
expect all the Luminosity people plus some more. How about that?
Boring.
Damn. That was actually kind of smooth from Gavin. Dang. I give it up. All right, we'll move on.
And then level up.
Is that the end of this month?
Yeah, there's Luminosity Smash Invitational for me, week off, I
Oh,
think.
snap.
Level up. Something
Oh,
like that.
yes. And then I'm gonna tell Phil EE to bring my goat deck. You can finally play
Oh, we
some
go, dude.
OG
We're goat
goat
decking.
format.
I got both of mine, Charles. They're coming.
I'm still waiting on a couple cards, and I'm
Me
starting to
too.
think they're not coming.
Uh-oh.
Gavin fucked up all his orders. He's texting me one day about how
I
stressed he
didn't mess
was.
up. They kept sending me the wrong cards.
I also have a ridiculous amount of Spell Ruler 25th edition bulk because of Gavin just buying a shit ton of
Yeah, I just left it. You
box
got it,
messages. bro. We're adults now. The bulk, just throw it away. This it's garbage. Like, just get rid of it instantly. I don't care. There's one card in
Dude,
the
what if
pack.
in 20 years it
Nope. Yeah.
is worth
Nope.
50 cents a card? Yeah.
We're not making that mistake, bro. We're
And
stuff
which one is
appreciates.
the mistake? The keeping or the throwing away?
Throwing away.
Oh, it's the keep for sure. The keep is garbage.
Well,
It's
I'm a
blur, dude.
responsible adult and I'm gonna recycle it because I give a fuck about the environment has. Jesus. I'm
Let's
not gonna
go.
throw it
I'll be
away.
burning it in my backyard.
What the?
This shit's kindling.
Well, as long as you're barbecuing.
I am, bro. Come through. It's delicious.
Spell Ruler barbecue, you know?
Jesus.
What the?
Anyway.
How have you been doing, Haz?
No one
Loving
cares.
baseball?
So
I care.
Leo's Roy. Amazing.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I just tried to change the subject. I'm good, bro. Yeah, I've been watching
Okay.
public baseball. See, no one cares. All right.
Okay, halt.
No. Okay, what's up? Go, Chuck.
Before we start, of course, if you like the comment, make
Oh,
sure to like,
sure.
comment,
Nice.
and subscribe. Make sure to support us on our Patreon. That's the best way you guys can support us directly. It helps us out a ton. And this week's Patreon content, we're going to be talking about which top players should play which characters. And I am very interested to know every single viewer's opinion on this. So please put the one top player, and if you could like pick their character that they want to play, put the player, put the top player. Put the character you want them to play in the comments below. And of
Yeah.
course, you could add us on Twitter as well and tell us the answers there. And I would love to go over some Twitter stuff too. I would love to involve the Twitter a bit more. So if you guys do have
Agreed.
any interactions like on Twitter, make sure to add us on Twitter.
I will say, obviously, for all its downsides, Smash Twitter is also fucking hilarious sometimes. Like, Charles, when we go to tournaments, we are cracking up at some Smash tweets. Twitter, we should do better at documenting them and bringing them up on the podcast just to give people.
Like, Twitter went hard at Genesis weekend. It went super hard. Like,
dude,
oh,
we were crying,
goodness.
Bro, at Genesis. There's so many funny tweets. It's honestly, it's such a weird polarizing part of Smash culture is the Twitter. It's either the best and the like most hilarious thing or the absolute worst.
Yeah,
for sure. They both come in the same basket.
Sometimes a combo.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, we should do that, Charles. That does sound fun. We should cover more Smash Twitter.
And fun fact, Taz runs the Twitter. So if you want to know the man behind the phone, it's Taz.
Yeah.
True.
I'm getting what your secret identity has.
Thanks, bro. What was I going to say? I don't know. I watched a bunch of Smash this weekend. Yeah. I think that's probably the most interesting, one of the most interesting topics aside from Pikachu getting a big W.
Wait. Is it cool if I go over my KawaiiCon experience because I didn't do it last week? I know this is like a
no, sorry. We've already
really?
Moved on.
Am I just getting my KawaiiCon just taken away? Like,
well, there's always next year. You'll be there at 2025.
True. Okay.
Please fill us in.
Please never say 2025 ever again.
Why?
KawaiiCon was super fun. I think something that not a lot of people talked about, it was the first time, well, Tama P, that was the first time Tama P competed outside of Japan. So that was really cool.
Bayo, yeah.
That was also the first time Tweak ever played against Tama P and Gackt, and against Gackt ever in Smash Brothers. You didn't even play him in Smash 4 or anything, right, Gavin?
Correct.
So that's pretty crazy. So I think there was definitely some interesting sets, some interesting storylines. Gavin tried to go Sephiroth, LOL. That was funny. And then he decided to win the tournament with Diddy. That was cool. I entered doubles, which was really fun, until I played up against Kazi and Steve. And then I just raged out of the venue and I didn't enter singles. So that was dope.
Good.
Because I didn't enter singles, so I raged on Friday in doubles so I wouldn't have to rage in singles. And I was telling everyone when people were like, you're dropping out of singles. I was like, I'm choosing happiness, bro.
Did I tell you what my new plan is, Charles? Just as an aside, as like a caster who also enjoys playing. I don't know about also enjoys playing, but I enjoy playing.
Oh, I enjoy playing the game. It's great.
Anyway, so what I'm going to do is I think I'm just going to enter Squad Strike. I think that makes a lot of sense because I have characters I like to play. It's not super serious. So like if I do poorly, like whatever. And if I do well, it's kind of a W. And I get to play both my characters, which is fun, and Ryu, so that's fun. And then it's on a Friday, so like it won't mess up the commentary schedule. You know what I'm saying? So that's my plan going forward. I think it'll be fun.
Here's the thing about competing specifically in singles or just competing in general with Ultimate. I have a lot of fun playing the game. I have a lot of fun watching the game. Being in a competitive environment specifically against Fighter Pass 2 is not fun, for me at least. So. Yeah. And like, you literally can't blame me for that. It's just, it's whack. The things that Fighter Pass 2 can do, it's just, it depends on how much time you have to play the game too. Like, am I going to sit there and lab against Steve and Kazuya or like play a perfect game of running away from Kazuya the entire time, doing everything safe, never committing? Like, all that stuff is really difficult to do. So, I mean, I still love playing the game. It's just competing specifically against Fighter Pass 2 is just not fun for me. So, and obviously, like, that's a big part of the meta. And I don't diss anyone that is down to compete against Fighter Pass 2, right? So, I mean, that's my viewpoint. And shout outs to BBW, who was my teammate. We actually got fourth, and then we got eliminated by Steven Kazuya, which was very troll. But, yeah, I mean, overall, it's still a fun... I still love the game, and I still like playing it. But competing against Fighter Pass 2 specifically is extremely frustrating, especially if you don't have the time to adapt the specific counterplay, because... If you think about Fighter Pass 2, a lot of your past Smash experience does not apply to these characters, right? So it's like I feel like I'm relearning a whole nother new Smash Bros. Game when fighting against these specific characters. And I'm pretty sure other top players can relate to this too. It's just frustrating when your past Smash experience don't apply to some of these newer characters, and it almost feels like you're starting from ground zero again, right? It's still possible to beat them, obviously, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of grinding.
Yeah.
Tough. Yeah, I think we say it a lot. Like, definitely big shout outs to everyone who's still putting up the fight, right? And trying to learn. And even when you do learn and try to beat the top tier of any game, it's so hard at a top level because you're playing against other players who are also very good. They're using these characters that are hard to fight and all this other, whatever, man. It's tough. So shout outs to everyone still competing and taking Ultimate seriously, because I still think it's super dope. I enjoyed watching the tournaments this weekend, and there was a lot of great play, a lot of great character representation, obviously, too, coming through the top eights. But I think the number one thing I want to start talking about, one of the most interesting things over the weekend that we teased a little bit, is Leos Roy. And I was going to ask in the chat before we got started today what y'all think, but I thought live reactions would be better. So I think, let's start with Marcus. What do you think about Leos Roy? Or did you catch a lot of his games? Or
good old start with Marcus. Let's go.
Yeah, why don't you open it up, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm down.
How you feeling, Marcus?
So I watched pretty much all of it, all of Diamond Dust. It was a great event. I don't know why it's kind of off topic, but I just felt the need to bring it up. I don't know why people were flaming that event's production. Like, that was just mad weird, man.
It was the layouts. They were rough. Like, Shiny Mark's name ran off the title card. It was rough.
Like, hey, man, not all the time you can get every single letter on the screen.
That's what it's not even that. It's just like, not every tournament has a Genesis budget. Like, it just, I don't know.
I think there's a push and pull. I feel what you're saying, but I also think like it's okay to expect better.
I liked how organic it felt. I liked that it felt like people showed up to an event and they just were trying their hearts out. Sometimes I feel like when I'm watching events, it feels like more of a spectacle than like more about the actual tournament itself. So I don't know. I liked the Diamond Dust layout, but I could see why some people didn't.
Is it more of like punching down feedback? Because I think feedback is justified no matter what.
Yeah, agree.
Did it just feel like for you, it felt like obviously the production quality wasn't the greatest and it felt like people were punching down? Because I think feedback is still necessary no matter the event. Yeah. But yeah,
I think it was pretty obvious that like it wasn't the best layout or something like that. You know what I mean?
But people still showed, which was cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like it just felt like people were there more for the tournament than it being like such a big thing, like for like a name or something like that, like showing up to a Smash Con or a Genesis. It was like, I didn't even know what Diamond Dust was, and everybody showed up, and I was like, oh snap, this joint lit. Like, these people are here to play. Like, I don't know. Anyway,
I was gonna say it's a little bit of both too, right? Because you got to start somewhere, so there's gonna be things that don't go perfectly at your first tournament, and that's an easy fix. And with that feedback, I guarantee you it'll be fixed next time for Diamond Dust 2 or whatever you want to call it. So
yeah, for sure,
as it should, because this tournament was great. But go ahead, Marcus.
But Leos Roy, I thought it was interesting. The pacing at which he played was really strange for Roy. There were a lot of breaks in the way that he moved. It was a lot of pauses. Sometimes he would just go to platform. I remember he was playing Beast Mode Paul once. I think it was Beast. No, it wasn't Beast Mode. It was that Derp Dog, I'm pretty sure, the hero. And he just jumped on the platform all the way across the stage, and the hero got like every single buff. And I was just like, what's going on here? Like, you're just cool with that? Like, and then I think he just got cooked for that or something like that. So it was a lot of like weird pacing breaks that I'm not used to from seeing Roy. Like, normally it's with Roy pacing, it's like swing, swing, pause, or like swing, 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 pause, or something like that, you know. But his was more like he was playing like a Lucina almost. It was a little strange, like just something you would expect from Leo, I guess. And that's not to say that it was bad or anything. It was just really interesting. It was like different than what I'm used to seeing. The one thing I did find really strange that I'm not sure that I particularly agree with, but it seemed to work out for him to some success, is his routing on Roy was really weird. Like, he would have people toward the edge of the stage, and instead of like forward airing them off the stage, he would do like up air, and then he would back air them in to the middle of the stage and like try to continue from like this angle right here where it's like kind of, they're like still 45 above him, and he would like look for up air or look for like falling air or try to catch their land with jab or something like that. It was an interesting take. I'm curious to see where it goes, because it could end up working out in the long run and be like something that, you know, he sees as a vision with the character. But a lot of the time I was just like, bro, just forward air him off stage and just get the ledge trap, like jab him at 40 on their neutral or something, F smash, let's get a dub. But sometimes you need something new to reinvigorate a character, like think like Light Fox, you know. And we're so used to seeing like Cola's Roy, essentially, and a few others like Goblin and Alice and all the Roys around the world. But so maybe that could work out for Leo. I thought it was solid, especially for it being the first event that he pulled it out. And I was glad to see how reluctant he was to switch off Roy. You know, he was just like, if this is who I'm with, I got to put it through the test. Kind of like what Gavin normally says with like picking up new characters. So that's pretty much my thoughts on it. We'll have to see a lot more of it because you can't just like judge it off of one tournament, like drop Roy instantly. But we'll see. What you think, Gavin? You look like you're ready to speak. Ooh, like yeah. You're ready to yap.
So he used Roy at a summit in like Squad Strike before, and it caught my eye. And I think in a way it's because it's kind of like what Marcus said, where there's like a layer of creativity, or like he would do things that were unexpected regardless if it was like optimal or not. So I was impressed with it and I thought it was interesting. So it's kind of cool that he actually gave it a shot, in a like for real environment. And I think regardless if he like, I kind of like what Marcus is saying and I can agree with it, but in a way I think it's like, I'd rather see that happen, 'cause maybe that means there's extra room for growth that's unexpected or something. So I think there's a lot of potential with it. Like, I don't know. He took that game off Riddles with the Nair forward smash. I was like, that is the last way I expected him to take a game off of Riddles with Roy. Like, so I think there's something there. But I think the hardest part about it is, regardless if there's something there, we could probably say that about most characters he would select and try at a tournament, we would see potential in them. So it's always a annoying situation to be in when you see potential in something, but you still have to figure out if it's worth it, because it's not like that's the only place where you'll find potential. And if we look a little bit more on paper, you have to truly ask yourself, like, how beneficial is it to have Roy on the roster? But yeah, I think his Roy's cool. I like seeing the new takes, like Marcus was saying. Like, regardless if it's like the right or wrong answer, I think it's pretty interesting. But then things like, you know, he goes up against Riddles Kazuya, which he's had like a few rough times with, and it's like even worse than normal. Like, that doesn't help, right? Like, with someone's confidence with playing a new character. But he has a good head on his shoulders, and I'm sure if he wants to keep using it, he's not going to let any of the losses or anything affect his like long-term game plan. Yeah, I didn't even know. Was this a surprise to people, or did we know he was going to be trying this? Because I had no idea he was going to be trying it.
I think he might have said something, right?
He tweeted a picture of him hovering like Roy on the character select screen.
Okay.
So I think people had an idea that he may be trying it, but that's it.
I think, honestly, I think Riddles might be a part, not like why he's picking up Roy, but why he's trying to do something fresh. I think he's 0-4 in the last four times he's played against Riddles, from Collision to Ultimate Summit 6, Writhe and Grind, and then Diamond Dust. And then the only time he beat him before that was the Scuff World Tour, where he did the Marth reverse. Stop it, Marcus. Stop. Because he did try Marth again. He did try it again, and it didn't work.
It was later in the set. He didn't start more. But anyway, so, all good.
I took a note when I was watching him play against Riddles. I hope he sticks with Roy and like kind of sees it through, because like you said, Marcus, it was very different. It's not very much a Leo style character, aside from the fact that it's holding a sword, right?
As it goes, yeah.
Exactly. But he's not, no one's like, oh yeah, that's a sword character, Roy. Like, technically, but it's like more like it's like brass knuckles or some shit. Like, he's brawling, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's not typically what you see from Leo, which is where you get that different twist on the character. Bro, at one point I saw him run up, down tilt, and then instant slingshot falling up air, like follow up. I was like, holy fuck. It missed, and he got grabbed by Kazuya and died. But I love...
I made fun of that situation live on stream.
Did you really?
I was restreaming this tournament, and when he did the slingshot up air and got down throw, I was like, oh, nice slingshot, bro, and he just died.
Dude, I was like, but the vision was like there, you know what I'm saying?
Literally 0%. Instantly died for approaching.
Also, he be getting grabbed by Kazuya a lot, like a lot. And I think that's obviously, like, it's easy to go back and say that's one of his problems in the matchup, but it is crazy that, so he, what was the sequence? It was, he went Roy and lost, then went Joker and lost, and then he went Roy and took a game. Is that, that's the way it went, right? Yeah. He even did some things off stage with Joker that I thought, like, he's clearly working. He obviously, it's not a secret that Riddles has been his demon for, I don't know, like a full year at this point, basically, if not longer. So I like that he's trying new things, even if it's a different character that I think is a really risky. I think Cola has a hard time against Riddles as well. Like, I think that's just a really risky. You never want to be scrapping with Kazuya, which is what you have to do with Roy. Yeah. But I'm glad he tried it and that he committed and that the vision is there in certain parts. But dude, like you said, it's a first time at a tournament with a character that you're really committing. Some things like that up air, they're going to whiff, but you got to just keep going. Like, it didn't work out and that sucks. And against Kazuya, if you mess up, you're probably dead. Like, that's just how, especially Riddles Kazuya. Bro, his conversion game was so weird. Did you guys catch some of the shit that Riddles was doing? He's forward tilting. Dude, he did down throw back tilt. What the fuck? And then he got neutral air and then down smash. Right?
Isn't back tilt good in the situations where electric doesn't connect? Isn't that like the best thing?
I just don't see it a lot.
I think he had a ton of rage when that happened. So he did back tilt and then I think it was short hop. It was either neutral or forward air into down smash.
Oh, the falling neutral air.
It was the weird hit of neutral air though, I think. Like, dude, a far hit.
I hate getting hit by that because in the moment you have no idea that you're about to get like Falcon Nair danger. Like, so like you're not feeling like you're in danger and then all of a sudden your stock gets deleted and you're probably already losing before that happens. So now you're guaranteed an L or something. Like, it's happened to me once in Bracket versus Riddles where it was like a back and forth set. And as soon as that connected, the set was over. Like, so I hate that he has a confirmation to that down smash because that joint is strong.
Crazy, dude. Talk about Riddles for a second too, bro. He brought up the cloud. Y'all see that? I kind of liked it, to be honest.
I feel like the theme of that tournament for some of these players was having the confidence to try something for like a long-term success kind of thing. And I love to see it because it's not easy to do. It's not easy to, like, I feel like once you get started, it's a little easier to have the confidence, but especially someone like Riddles, who's been like tried and true on like a specific way of playing Smash. I think having the confidence of doing that is really good. Cause I'm going to be brutally honest here. Like, I've lost to Riddles and his fighting game characters before, but I don't think those characters are long-term good for like winning major tournaments. Cause they have clear ways for every character to fight against them, obviously. Right. Cause they get camped, for lack of a better word. And I think Riddles having some flexibility against a character like Steve, which is like an extremely flexible character, is good growth and shows that he's thinking long term and stuff like that. And maybe now he'll use a bit of both in certain matchups or something like that, right? So I think that's really good, especially because Cloud's like one of the best picks for Steve, obviously. So.
Yeah, see, like, this counterpick makes a lot more sense to me. Leo's, I'm not gonna be really nice about Leo's Roy. I don't think it's worth it. Doesn't make sense on paper. It doesn't make sense on his playstyle. And honestly, my only question is, I don't know where Leo's at when it comes to like wanting to win. I know Gavin, I listened to the episode last week, and I know Gavin was just talking about like, yeah, I mean, I've done the whole like pick the best characters, try to be the best player in the world thing, and now I'm just going to pick the characters that I want to win with. And I don't know if Leo's in that same boat, because if Leo is just playing Roy because he likes the character and he wants to play Roy and try to win with Roy, like, that's cool. But right now it's not even a proven meta character. Like, Cola is getting destroyed by so many of Fighter Pass 2, in my opinion, and to the point where he's thinking about playing Cloud against some of these Fighter Pass 2 or like just the currently strong meta, right? Like, Steve particularly, like, I don't know how good Roy does against Steve. And I just don't know if Leo's being stubborn because he's the one that started the Korn trend. He was the one that started getting all these results with Korn. Then two other players start winning with Korn. And I don't know if it's just like, well, other people are playing Korn, so I don't want to do it, because his Korn is already proven. So there's so much data out there that suggests that he plays other characters, or even like what happened to the Rob. Like Rob is just way better than Roy. And I think we can all agree that Rob is better than Roy. So now the Rob's gone, question mark. I don't know how serious Leo's taking the game right now, because a lot of his decisions right now don't make sense to win tournaments right now, or they don't make sense like matchup wise, or they're not matching with his playstyle. And I mean, if he doesn't really, if he just wants to play characters he wants to play, then it's whatever, right? It's the same, it's my same criticism against Gavin. Gavin playing Sephiroth is like absolutely troll if you're trying to win. it just is. And I'm, and I don't sugarcoat it. I don't care if you're a good friend of mine, or you're just you know, a competitor that I know within the scene or whatnot, right? I'm just going to tell you the truth in terms of what data that we have right now. Trying to win with Sephiroth is like very funny. Like you're trying to outplay your opponent so much that you win with a character that shouldn't be winning in general. You have like brawl levels of lag. You're the only character in the game that has that much lag. You can't frame trap. Like you have to hard read so many times over and over again, and you have range, but you don't have activity. You don't have like active frames on your disjoints, right? So they don't frame trap. You have to be extremely precise. And I think Roy, I don't think Roy is as bad as Sephiroth, but I just think Leo has so many other characters he's been successful with, and like he's just pulling out another character, and I don't understand why. And I don't even know if Roy does well against Kazuya. Like Cola kind of goes back and forth. I'm not too sure. I think Riddles has the set count on him, but like you kind of just don't want to be near Kazuya. And I don't know if Roy has enough sour hit setups to justify like spacing out Kazuya and getting something out of it, right? So that's, to me, it doesn't make any sense, but if he wants to do it, he wants to do it.
Versus characters like Kazuya, or like, it reminds me of when I play Diddy. Like, let's say I'm playing Diddy versus Luigi. Like, it's fine. I technically outrange Luigi, but it's not enough to feel like I do. You know what I mean? Like, when you're playing Kazuya versus Roy, or Steve versus Roy, you outrange them, but it's like, do you? And even then, maybe he doesn't actually outrange Steve.
Give it some Kazuya moves, bro.
But basically, you have the disjoints to deal with like the brawling, scrappy scenarios, but like, do you actually? So that's always really scary. Like when I'm playing Diddy versus like the Mario Brothers or something, like, or like Ness, like I have a couple moves that are larger than their moveset, but like it still feels like I'm in their bubble and having a hard time like dealing with that. So it's scary. I feel like playing Roy versus Kazuya, like has said, like you have the tools to maybe not get grabbed too often, but you probably will. Like that's probably why you're going to lose if you do lose.
And please, for the love of God, I watched this set and it was like tearing me apart. Leo, please switch your DI on electric. Like Leo would show, you can watch the blue line during the set. I would say like 80 to 90% of the time, Leo shows out. So like as the Kazuya player, you can see the blue line going out. And there's a lot of times where there's situations where if you go out, you're not on the platform. If you go in, you're on the platform. So it's technically a 50-50, but he was not switching it. Like he just holds out. And then he just stays going out. So Riddles knows exactly where he's going. He knows he's not going on the platform. And there are technical 50-50s on electric in those specific situations. And you have to show them one way. It's like SDIing against Bayo in Smash 4. You like SDI up and out, but on the last hit, you like change your DI down and in or something like that. Because the Bayo is reacting to you going up and out, right? So they're expecting up and out on the last final hit. You have to switch that. Because if Riddles knows exactly where you're going after every electric, you will get zero to death single time. You will get obliterated. So, and this is for anyone that struggles against Kazuya, you have to switch the DI on electric. And I know it's very hard to do it in the moment because you're fearing for your life because you're getting zero to death in tournament by Mr. Mishima. But you have to do that. You have to do that because if you're not even making the Kazuya coin flip for the kills, like, come on, man.
I think
already know every Kazuya player is just like no lifing it in training mode. They're going to hit it.
I think the most important thing, or like a nice way to get started with DI and Kazuya stuff, is when you get electric, start spinning your stick, bro.
Yeah, you don't even know which way you're going.
Random,
just fucking roll that shit.
Just spam. Like, just, Just spin it. Mario Party.
I just like wiggle like back and forth. I'm like, whatever, bro. Like, you got
chance
it.
Time. Chance time.
Like Yugi versus Pegasus, bro. You don't even know your own spell cards that are set down.
Yeah.
Gotta hit them.
Loki,
with
that's
bro.
The tech on certain deck pieces too. You don't even know which way you're like.
Yeah. It can't read you if you don't know.
Yeah, you don't even know, bro.
I do it all the time versus Kazu where I'm just like, I'm too old for this. Spin.
Spin to win.
Yes, I love the chance time.
Should I ask, and this could be obviously bleeding into our Patreon content a little bit, and also maybe a little into like similar shades of Gavin, but where's the Leo Cloud at, bro? Like what? Like Cloud, obviously, in terms of this meta and what we're looking at here.
Bro, where is
Cloud? I know, Charles. It's kind of like
we found Riddles. Riddles got the Cloud.
Hey,
he's down.
Riddles.
He's on the way.
Hey.
Well, here's... Marks and I talked about this a little bit. I'm going to be a little brutally honest. Riddles Cloud versus Onin was Cloud versus Onin. That it did not have a Riddles flair to it or anything. The Cloud was relatively weak, but it was getting the job done in like a game or something in the matchup. The Cloud was not very precise. There's a lot of like.
You got to start somewhere.
Like. Exactly, but I'm saying like
it's like the Roy.
It's just no, it's different. I don't know how to explain it. But...
Hate it, Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus might explain this better. Right. I'm not trying to sound too rude, obviously. Riddles is like, one of the best players in the world, but the Cloud is not. The Cloud is not.
As a long-time Smash enjoyer, okay, and if you've been a fan of the podcast for a long time, there's a term that one likes to use. About characters when they pick it up, okay? Does it have the it factor, right?
Yeah.
When you pick up a character, a lot of times, if it's a secondary, you're instilling your personal playstyle that speaks volumes about how you see the game into that character. When I watched Riddles pick Cloud, it looked like Riddles picked Cloud because he knows that these options are strong against Steve and I'm going to use them. It did not feel like the crazy Riddles movement.
Yes.
The convert, like, you know, his execution is insane. Like, the crazy Riddles actually has, like, ridiculous reaction time. Like, he was, like, preempting everything. I was like, bro, what is going on here? Like, this is not Riddles. Yeah. Could it become Riddles? Yeah, sure. I think He had an idea, and I was watching his stream. He was playing in Smash 4, and he picked Cloud. And he played it against Wrath, and he was playing it on Elite for a little bit, and he said, maybe I should try picking up Cloud and Alt. So this Cloud is fresh. Like, right. It's new, like, probably less than 5 hours on it.
And still was able to take games off Onin. Like, I think this Cloud pick is better long-term wise than him trying to figure it out with the
100%.
I agree,
but I'm saying for Leo and me, our clouds do not have the it factor.
Yeah, but it just takes time. Like you just have to imprint.
Dude, it's natural, bro.
This is
I can't argue because I'm not Tweak or Leo, but it's you guys can pick way better characters versus like you guys can pick better matchups, but I just know that you guys don't give a fuck about the game like that anymore. Like I just know for a fact it just shows in your character decisions. It just shows because if you're playing for your life and you have to prepare for an ultimate tournament in like 1 or 2 years, is your ego more important than your life? Where you take a character that's worth.
Dude, he trucked.
Yeah, exactly. Because in Smash 4, your ass is playing Cloud and fucking Bayo. So I know you guys don't give a fuck about the game like that anymore.
Though.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You guys are just older. The drive's not there. I get it. The game's like 6 years old. But I don't want to sit here and pretend like we're talking about these players in an aspect of them. They are trying their very best to win, and they are fighting for their lives. Even someone like Void. Does Void give a fuck about winning in Smash anymore? God, no. I mean, you two give more fucks than Void because you guys are actually competing. You guys still get top eights and stuff like that. But like, I've seen a lot of players in the point of their life when they're making decisions, and every single decision is just to win. It's not to like play the edgy sword character. It's not to like play this cool guy that has a badass like backstory or it's part of my favorite fucking game. I've seen players when they play and they just want to win. And then I've seen the other side of it. So it is
the funniest part about that is that Cloud could easily fit that for Gavin too, which is hilarious. You love F7, bro.
Yeah.
If you want to play Sephiroth that bad, Cloud is right there, and he's a better pick.
He's not fun.
No, this is not about fun. I think this is to Charles's
correct.
Point, this is not about fun.
Correct. It is not. There's a lot of characters in Smash that are not fun too. And that are very powerful and you can win with.
But I also think. Go ahead, Marcus.
Well, I think that's true. I also think there needs to be some degree of enjoyment while you're playing the game. You can't just like lock in a character you don't enjoy at all and expect to continue to win because you're not going to want to develop the character. But I think if you're picking the character for like two matchups, like 99% of the time you're playing, you'll be enjoying the game. So that's fine, unless the character is like ridiculously irrelevant. Like there's a 10 million Steve, Rob Snakes, you know what I mean? But otherwise, like, most people aren't just going to play a character. Like, 99.9% of players aren't just going to play a character because they're giga broken. Except for, like, I can only think of two.
It just depends on their drive.
It depends. No,
yeah, I know.
I think it's a mix because in Smash 4, Gavin played Cloud and Bayo because he enjoyed playing as them as well as them being fucking broken, which ties into each other, right?
Yeah, so some motherfuckers got lucky. You're not lucky anymore. So now you got to make a tough choice.
Charles, I'm gonna be honest. I got so lucky, bro.
That's what I'm saying. If Bowser Jr. was a top tier, that would have been your character.
Especially, I didn't even know Cloud was good. I was just trying the new character at the time, bro.
And it's the same thing with all these players that love playing Steve in Smash.
I'm gonna be honest.
Younger generation or whatever, they love Steve. They love how he plays in Smash. They love how broken he is. They're just lucky.
I still have a bit of that balance in my decision making, I think.
I think
that there's still, even if it's the smallest crumb of hope, especially for Sephiroth, I still think there's a universe where, like, I can win with Sephiroth. And I was going to say it for Diddy too, but we're living in it. Like, I literally do win majors with Diddy Kong. So I think it's possible, and I think I can do it, but especially for Sephiroth, it's very difficult, and I still feel like I'm at square one. But I've played Smash enough to know, like, when I'm playing in the match, if something is there, and I still feel it sometimes. So, but for Diddy Kong, I can just win, like, straight up. It doesn't matter the match. Like, even if I know I've been getting smoked by Steve, like, I know there's gonna be a day where I beat Steve with Diddy, and I'm not going to be surprised. Like, it is, like, I know I'm making it harder, and I know in, like, that I could fix this balance, or at least adjust the balance to where it makes more sense to go to a tournament right now and win. But, like, I have faith in my ability right now with those two characters, and I have faith that it will improve and I will figure it out. Like, dude, put me in a bracket right now and I'll go solo Diddy. I will probably win a bunch of hard matchups. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not possible. That's just my outlook on it. Like I said, I am not you and I'm not Leo, but I guarantee you guys had more drive in the first 1 or 2 years of the game. You guys had more drive in Smash 4. That's how I feel when I look at your guys' character picks. Because at the end of the day, there's two categories, right? There's the will to win, and then there's like having fun. And at the end of the day, which one takes precedent over the other? Some people are lucky. Some people get to do both, right? Because they overlap with each other. But other people have to make decisions. And I especially think about this when I think about like old school Brawl or Smash 4 players where they just like picked Diddy Kong, they played neutral, and they won. They played Sheik, they played neutral, and they won. There was zero it factor, and it was still enough to win because they were fundamentally that good, and they abused the most broken characters in the game. And that was a very common thing. And now I think in Ultimate, we don't see it as much because there's so many viable options.
Yes.
You guys are actually lucky because it's like, instead of picking like from these, I mean, I guess you guys are still picking high-ish tier characters. I would kind of argue Sephiroth's maybe a bit lower, like lower end of high tier. Like Roy is still pretty solid, but there's still like so many other characters, in my opinion, that are better than Roy, right? And Sephiroth.
We talked about
that you would for sure enjoy. There's so many characters, man.
We talked about this a bit last week, where there's a balance between, if you, like Marcus said, if you don't enjoy your character and you don't like them, if you do enjoy your character on the other side, the positive is that it motivates you to get better because you enjoy your character, you enjoy the way that they play, that you enjoy X, Y, and Z about them, so there's more natural motivation to play the game and to get better and to get stronger with them, which I think is a huge X factor for you, Gavin, right?
Yeah.
So that exists. And then I think there is another push and pull to it too, Charles, where, bro, I didn't know who the fuck Mennonite was before Brawl came out. Guess what? I love that guy now. Like, you know what? I started mashing up air and neutral air with him. I was like, this guy rules. Like, this is my guy right here. But sometimes, like, I'll pick a top tier and I'm like, this isn't for me. Like, I don't like this. And it kind of all factors into all those different things where people are making decisions and stuff. I do agree where if you... Obviously, we talk about on paper all the time. Like, we need to, like, put on a shirt or some shit. But, like, on paper, obviously, the best thing you could do if you only want to win, like, if you're a robot that's, like, winning is good, losing is bad, and that's all I care about, picking Steve, you know, picking Mayo, picking Meta Knight, whatever. Like, that's what you got to do, and then just become the best with them. But there are some certain X factors with playing characters that aren't quite as common as top tiers, too. Like, there's so much that goes into it. I think it's really interesting, especially in a landscape like Ultimate, where, like you said, Charles, there are, like, fucking 40 or 50 characters winning pretty regional sized tournaments. You know what I'm saying?
And I just want to clear things up. I am talking about someone's whose job is to win. I'm not talking about, like, you go to your local tournament, you have your 9-to-5 and you like the game and you just, like, want to get on your local PR. My perspective I'm talking about are professional players whose, like, job is to get high placements for their orgs or whatever, and every org has different setups, right? I don't know what priorities each org has in terms of, like, winning or content creation and stuff like that. The landscape has changed quite a bit since, like, Smash 4 when we started seeing the teams. But, like, generally, you would think a pro player's main objective is to win tournaments. So that is the perspective I'm thinking of. And I'll tell you right now, in life, most of the time when you go do your job, you're probably going to have to do some shit you don't like to do. And that's just me being realistic and having to go through multiple jobs that I don't like, but I tough it out and I do it. So that's the perspective I'm coming from. So
yeah. Metaphorically, couldn't that be you working through hard matchups? Like, I don't want to fucking play against Steve as this character, but I'm going to do it because that's, like, the hard thing also, I have to do.
It, as long as you truly believe it. And I mean, if Gavin truly believes it, I think he has more, like, Smash IQ and more Smash experience than I do. I study the game a lot and I can give my perspectives, but I've never been in the hot seat like that. And if he truly believes it, then I can't knock him. But I will say that there's other options that are better. But if he truly thinks it's possible and he thinks that his placings can still stay to a point where he can still stay on an org and still, because you don't want to fall off the face of planet Earth, right? Like, say, let's say Gavin's just like, all right, fuck it. I'm going solo Sephiroth and I can do it. I'm Tweak. I got this, right? 33rd, 55th, like, doesn't make it out of pools. Then no sponsor. Then can't pay bills, right? I'm not saying that this would happen. I'm just saying, like, you need to also think about your well-being and you being able to pay the bills. And for Gavin, a part of that is his placements in tournaments, right? So I don't think Gavin's going to make a decision. I think the Sephiroth is an in-between choice. He knows that he can play other characters and it's better. Dude, Diddy Game & Watch is one of the most broken combination of characters because Diddy perfectly covers Diddy's bad matchups. Every character that pressures shield super hard and can't let Diddy move and, like, are really fast and they get up in Diddy's face so he can't set up banana, Game & Watch Omega counters that. Has a reflector. Zoners are fucked. Like, it's all right there. Or you could even go Cloud. Diddy Cloud, also on paper, very good. He's picking Sephiroth, but he knows that his results won't dip as much. He will still stay relevant. He can still have a sponsor. And he's finding, like, this perfect middle ground, and he still believes in the fact that eventually, with Sephiroth, he can win. But his results won't fall off the face of planet Earth, and he can still survive.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, I mean, everyone in this call right now knows, like, I look at the game my way and, like, I kind of refuse any other view. Like, I look at the game, like, a lot differently than, like, a typical tier list or something a lot of the time. Like, I'll bend to the community once in a while and be like, okay, this is good right now or something like that. But, like, when I think, I don't think Kazuya is that good. Like, as annoying, like, losing to it, I understand why it's super stupid and all that
it's
stuff.
Frustrating, but it's not broken.
In a way, it's super broken, but in another way, it's, like, not that impressive. Like, it's, so, I'm like that all the time with this game. Like, I still don't think Game & Watch is, like, the end-all be-all of Ultimate. I still don't think Rob is the end-all be-all of Ultimate. Like, I'll bend to the community once in a while and be like, okay. But I'm not picking it because when I play it, it doesn't feel like I'm picking the best possible choice. Like, stuff like that. Like, there's a couple that I don't have an excuse for not playing. Like, there's a couple. Like, Sonic and Sheik, I don't have much of an excuse. Like, that, those characters are really fucked up. Like, really fucked up. But I see the game in a way where, like, if I play Steve, like I as broken as Steve is, like, I know that, like, I'm not the greatest at it, and I just have faith that there will be a point where that character just doesn't faze me anymore. And I also have faith that if I was the one in that seat as Steve, that there would come a point where they wouldn't be fazed by my Steve anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't think you can play Steve. I think there's other combination of characters for what you particularly want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, when I look at the game through my Diddy and Sephiroth lens, like, especially Diddy, I see a lens where even if they know everything in my brain, like everything, my game plans, my win conditions, what I'm going to do, I have faith that I will still beat that player with Diddy. But if I'm playing some of my other characters from the past, like if I'm playing PT, and I'm playing against someone that I've played 100 times, we've gone back and forth, they know everything I want to do, I don't have faith that I would be able to win if they just simply had enough knowledge. But with characters like Diddy and hopefully Sephiroth, if my opponent, even if they're like the most dangerous opponent yet when it comes to experience and like character picks, I have faith that I will still win regardless, especially with Diddy. So that's how I feel about it. Like when I play Cloud, it just feels kind of ugly. Like it feels like there's universes and matchups and all this stuff that will happen where it won't be up to me to win. It's just what I feel. Like it happens all the time. And sometimes there's these really good moments with Sephiroth where it feels like it was up to me and that was my influence on the match. And especially with Diddy, like it feels like when I lose, like it was on me, at least to an extent where I can keep playing Diddy. And when I win, it wasn't because they like messed up. A lot of the time when I'm playing other characters, it feels like I'm relying on my opponent. And if I have to rely on my opponent in any way, like I'm done. The second I feel, even if I'm wrong, the second I feel like my opponent has to decide what's going on in Smash, I'm done with that character. Like Wario, there were so many situations where it felt like it was up to my opponent, and I don't want anything to be up to my opponent. So there is a couple matchups with my combination where it feels like it's up to my opponent, namely like Sonic. That's where I get the most tilted and struggle the most in my head, because it feels like I can't influence them in any way. It feels like the only way I can win is if they make a bunch of mistakes. So, but I have faith that my combination is good enough because I don't have that huge mental struggle with that many characters. So
I also think that there's a uniqueness to players. Because I think part of it is winning, right? Like if this is you being a professional, part of it is winning. Winning is very important. But I also think that there are players whose personality pushes them over the edge. The uniqueness of the characters that they play makes people want to support them more. Like think about if Gavin never picked up Diddy Kong, who nobody believed in at the time. You know, just, I don't think you should play Diddy Kong. He's not good enough. Now look where we are with Diddy Kong. I just think there are some clear answers like, bro, please don't be trying to like win with Little Mac or something like that. You know what I mean? Like characters are like extremely obvious weaknesses and that are very, very flawed. But I do think there's something to say about people who stick to the characters that they believe in, as long as they're proven that they're good enough. Because Light could have dropped Fox a long time ago. Gluto could have dropped Wario a long time ago, because there's just some matchups that are unplayable. They're just, why would we even play him? But they kind of stuck with him. Or people picked up characters like Gavin who just saw something. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Leo really does see something with Roy. Maybe he does. I mean, it's hard to know.
Sometimes, like, feel free to chime in at any point, because I haven't really worded this before. I don't know if this is like an imposter syndrome type of thing, but a lot of the times I truly believe I won't even have half the success unless I'm able to play the game through my like weird lens. Like if I can't, like I can't, like I feel like in Smash 4 it was easier to force my lens on any character I selected, but in Ultimate I can't just like I feel like the community a lot of times says like, oh, if Tweak plays this character, like instantaneously the whole universe is different. I actually don't believe in that anymore at all. Like I don't think if I'm not playing Diddy, I don't think I'm the same person or player. So like it, like we were talking about how I was lucky in Smash 4, I still think I'm lucky in this game. Like I truly believe I am not like I think I'm good at specific things, or like I'm good at looking at the game in a specific way. Like I truly don't think it translates as well as it used to. Like I still think I'm just kind of lucky.
honest question, or maybe it's not even something you've thought of, but how possible or how difficult is it to expand the lens? Like right now you're like, I need to play the game through my way or through the lens that I look through.
My lens is pretty wide, but like it's not even about like I need a certain character for this lens to work. It's like there's like some stubbornness to it, and there's also like I just genuinely don't think I'm as good as people think. I think sometimes I'm a little gimmicky, but
I can kind of see that.
But there's a lot of layers to my gimmicks. There is.
I can kind of see that, and sometimes, and I'll let Chuck go. I'm gonna be pretty short, but sometimes you're a little stubborn. I can see that. I think a lot of the better players, because there aren't, it's hard to argue that there are many players better than you. Obviously, if we look at like results and rankings, there are, but anyway, like the slightly better players or whatever, they're willing to change the way that they see something. And it's not even that, because you do that as well. So I don't know. I do think that there are some clear things you need. You need a way to take stocks. I think that over the years, I've noticed that you've gravitated more toward characters that have a clear way of taking stocks.
Yeah.
Cloud and Smash 4, if you put them on the ledge at a certain percent and you had limit, that was usually how you took your stocks. And then you played Bayonetta, obviously, and then Wario in this game. Dash attack, down tilt, dash attack, BT edge guarding, Diddy Kong banana, C drop dare, all that thing. So I do think that there is a need for your character to have like
with Sephiroth.
Very yeah, but that's the thing that's interesting to me with Sephiroth, is that I don't necessarily see that in him, that there's just like a base way for you to take stocks. It's normally with him like stray hits, or you got some really crazy situation with Wing off stage or something like that. So that's what's interesting to me. But yeah, I do think that there's always room for growth in players. And I think that if you decide that you really want to stick with Sephiroth, maybe this will be the time where you expand your lens a little bit more and find different ways to take stocks and stuff like that. But
this reminds me of my first ever like in-depth conversation with Tony. So Tony does a lot of stuff with Smash University and all that. He's like a very knowledgeable person on Smash. We sat down like before a CEO top 8, and it was like an hour or two actually. Like I was very interested, so I just talked with him the whole time, and he was saying like, yeah, like I tell players like blah 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 X and Y thing to like beat you. And he didn't know exactly why it was working, but he knew it was working. And then I kind of explained to him like the way I view the game and how like I only do things that I think are like visually pleasing or like look nice. Because if it doesn't look nice to me, it feels like I'm doing something wrong. And that's like the one standard I've always had that I've never gotten rid of. Like I only do options that I think visually look nice and can flow into everything else. Like a lot of the time it's logical, but sometimes it's just genuinely being stubborn. Like Charles knows that a lot too. So that's definitely part of the lens. So like, I don't know, some characters just don't look as nice to me personally. So
yeah, my last thing on this is my lens of Leo and Tweak, and I think this is why he gets the most criticism on it, or those two players specifically get the most criticism on it, is during Smash 4 especially, and then even now, like, I mean, mainly early ult pre-quarantine, but even after quarantine, these two players still have very relevant results with a very wide character pool. So I think the general consensus of the community is that you guys have the best Smash IQ when it comes to picking up other characters, having instant results with them. You want a Gommel in year one of like playing Roy for a week or however long you did it. Like the talent that you players have, or the Smash insight that you guys have to pick up new characters and know what's strong about said character and execute it, I think that's where the community has a very high standard on. And maybe you guys aren't like that anymore. I mean, I like, and not to be mean or anything, but the game is very different now, right?
Yeah.
Fighter Pass 2 has brought a bunch of other different ways to play Smash that your traditional Smash skills, or as we like to call them, fundamental skills that you learned from previous Smash games, might not apply to some of these characters. So you and Leo might not be able to transfer as easily as before. So that's kind of where I felt like this conversation is going. And I'm not trying to like throw shots out or whatever, but the game's very different. Now, Ultimate is very different, especially in Fighter Pass 2.
It's been tough for me to accept that I can't just like do whatever I want. But
because in Smash 4, you could do that. I remember I played a lot of Smash 4 with you, and you would like pick up Lucas, and in like an hour, I'm like, this is the best Lucas I've ever played. Like other people in the tournament that played Lucas are like not as good as you. And like, this is after watching you play it for 30 minutes to an hour. But maybe, I mean, Ultimate's a lot more of a deeper game. So, and I actually think Smash 4 was an easier game to play because it was just slower pace and stuff like that. So the game might be really hard for you and Leo to just like copy. Yeah. Go for the copy-paste strategy.
I mean, I did the same thing with Marcus all the time. We'd play all the time. I just picked up DK and then went to a tournament and used DK. Like, all that type of stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, like, it was hard to accept how different Ultimate is, how different I am. But I've learned to love being a specialist more than being, like, I can play any character.
The generalist, yeah.
Like, I love just playing Diddy Kong. Like, I'm down for that. It could have been a lame character, you know. Like I'm glad that it's the coolest character in the game. You know what I mean? No bias. So it was a tough thing to accept, and it kind of reminds me of my whole process of accepting that I don't play this game for fun anymore. It was tough to realize that this game is like 100% a job now, but I eventually just learned to love that aspect of it too. So it's just how like life changes, like all that stuff. Like I kind of love that I treat Smash like it's my office job, and it's like
I pick
Diddy, I play neutral, and I clock in like that's
a suit and tie on, Mo.
Put like, on the tie. It's not DK,
it's a tournament. Like I'm not here at this tournament for fun. I'm not.
Yeah, it shouldn't be fun. Loses, bro.
I haven't been in a long time, and it's not even it doesn't even feel like it's about winning or losing. Oh, what the heck? Sorry.
Missing no.
Yes, dude. Yes. Right.
So it's always tough for a little bit, but you just learn to love it, I guess, or you kind of have to learn to love it. I like that it's a job, and I like that I'm more of like a specialist with my specific characters. And I still think I bring a lot to the table when it comes to Smash Ultimate and its player base. So there you go.
All right. Really great topic.
You want a tournament. Fundamentals, right?
Yes.
maybe that should be another Patreon topic. What is fundies?
Yeah.
What is maybe funny? Someone tried to answer that recently on Twitter. It's pretty good. Yeah, we can see a lot next week. Shout outs to good tournament in Connecticut. My backyard. Well, not really my backyard. Come on now. It's like 5 hours from me. But shout out to Light winning a tournament. Hell yeah. Dropped a set to Jude Jackal.
Yeah.
Grands 3-0-3-0. So Jackal had a lot of good wins at CT GamerCon, including Zomba.
Yeah.
Tried to drop the book on him. That was fucking hilarious, I have to say. I am loving Zomba's antics every tournament at this point.
He is very funny.
It's very fucking funny.
He's very funny.
Yeah, good tournament. And then obviously Shiny Mark, like, I know obviously we're wrapping up the episode here, but what a tournament. Really well played. A lot of great W's for Shiny Mark along the way, especially Shattuck. I feel like Shattuck's one of the best players on the planet. I was going to say in the country, but on the planet right now. So
especially the last couple months specifically.
Yeah. Did you see? When he played, when he played against Neo, the way he moved around the platforms, like when he pinned, he slid, and then he did the B reverse. Yes, dude. That I was like, my ass is never playing him on Battlefield.
He tried to add that flair against Shiny Mark, and it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
But I appreciated that he was trying to feel loose versus Pikachu. I talked about that a lot in the restream, but yeah. Played really well versus Neo, like really like was able to lock in the Ditto compared to Genesis, where it's like very back and forth. It was pretty dominant. But yeah, once again, Jackal did great. Taking a set off Zomba is tough. Rob Wolf is really tough, and Zomba usually has the lock on that head to head matchup and everything.
But Light Jackal is usually pretty even, actually, right?
It's always been really back and forth, and yeah, I feel like that's a bit of a hidden thing that, I mean, most people probably are aware, but yeah, they've traded sets all the time.
Talking about Light. Go ahead, sorry.
My region's just always struggled with Light. Because we don't play Fox, especially like that, and then like obviously people play Fox like really well, of course, like everywhere, but it just feels like Light just bullies my region for a long time now. So it's cool that we have we have people beating him once in a while. So
yeah, I was going to say, I know
Jude hates Fox, and I know I hate Fox, and I know Rivers hates Fox. Like all
a
of
lot
us
of Tri-State hates Fox.
Yeah, we hate
bullshit,
Fox.
Bro.
Yeah.
But shout out to Light for winning W, and shout out to Cosmos for having a clutch set against DeBuzz. Cosmos been on the up and up. That was a really, really fun game 5 to watch, is what I'll say about that. So
yeah,
gotta get Cosmos again.
All right, you know what we have to do? We have to talk about which characters top players would play on the Patreon.
That's true. We're gonna go over the Patreon.
I did it, Gavin. I'm so mad. Okay, well, I'll save this for next episode. But I had a whole like Shiny Mark / Pikachu rant planned, but then we got super deep into
topics. It was unexpected, but hopefully people will enjoy that. So thank you so much for watching, y'all. Have a good one. Support the Patreon. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Congrats, Shiny Mark.
Yes.
W.